And just remember that my questions aren't going to be in it. So if I ask you a question, you need to
just answer.
Answer it with the question in your answer. So if I said, what was their home like? Don't just go, it was big. You would say, their home was big, right?
Okay.
So can you tell me your name and where you're born?
My name is Fazi Alboro Sr. I was born in Lahaina and in a camp called Kiawi Camp. And the camp I was born in, I was homegrown. My grandma and my dad brought us out in this world. And then, you see, we have two different camps. They call it, one is Filipino camp, and Mahok is a Japanese camp. So we have two separate camps, but it's still Kiawi camp.
And do you know why your parents, did your parents immigrate together?
Yes, they immigrated together from the Philippines. They came from Cebu, Bogo. My grandparents and my mom and dad, they all came together.
And do you know what their impression of Hawaii was when they were in the Philippines?
Well, to be honest with you, they hardly speak English and we don't speak Filipino too very well, you know. So I guess they enjoyed it because they work in a field, you know, cane field, and they seem to, well, I don't know if they really enjoyed it, but they work until they retired.
Do you know what they, what their vision of Hawaii was? What, why they thought this would be a good idea to come?
Well, I tell you, at first, I guess before we were born, they were looking for themselves. And then afterwards, when we were raised, we were brought up, they started to think that, gee, I think it's best for them to see that we get educated and see what they can do for us, and which they did their best, you know, trying to educate us and teach us what is right and wrong, which I believe helped us a lot to grow how we are today.
But they could have, you could have been educated in the Philippines. Why did they think you should be educated in Hawaii?
Well, we were born in Hawaii. I was born in Lahaina. So since we were born and raised here, we went to school in Lahaina. The school we went to at first was Kamehameha Third School. There was from first to eighth grade. And then from Campton School, Kamehameha Third School, went to Lahaina Luna. And from there we went on our own.
So when your parents came, they went straight to the sugar plantation? What did
yes,
they do?
Yes, that was a contract when they came to work for the sugar company. And they could have gone back to the Philippines, but they chose to stay. Because if they fulfilled the contract, they would have been given some kind of guarantee where they will receive the money that they put in to come to Hawaii. But my mom and dad and my grandparents chose to stay because I guess they liked it here.
So what kind of work did they do for the plantation?
They used to work the very most hard job in the plantation. They used to irrigate the cane. And the old-fashioned way, you don't have the pipes, you know. You have to get the cane trash. And what they do is, how they irrigate the fields, they have to move the cane trash from one line to the next line. And that's a very difficult job because their feet and hands are always in the water.
I don't understand. Can you explain that again, how they irrigate the cane?
You see, when they irrigate the cane fields, they have lines. And in those lines, they have to have water go into the line. So what they do, they have that rubbish, well, I guess the leaves. They fold it up, they bundle it up, and then each line, they have an opening. And that opening, after the line is filled up, they put that cane leaves that they tied up, so that the water don't come down anymore. It goes to the next line. So, and that's hard because their feet and hands is always in the water. So they do that until all the fields that they were supposed to irrigate is done.
And what do you remember about what your house was like when you were growing up?
Well, I tell you, I remember when I was growing up, I remember when I was in the third grade, I used to be pretty naughty, you know. And when we go to school, we go from Kiawi Camp, where I was born and raised, it's about a mile to come here, my third school. And then when we started the grade school, from first grade until third grade, that's when I remember most of my...
Can you say that again, because you touched the mic?
Oh, well, when I started remembering from third grade, because that is when we have friends, we get together. What we used to do, we leave the house, we have to wear slipper. That's a must. But then, you see, in our camp, we used to have a movie theater before. Then they converted into a social hall. And under that building, they have a place where we can put our slipper. So what we do, we have a bunch of us, you know, camp kids, put our slipper under there, go to school barefooted. And that's a mile walk, but young kids don't feel anything, yeah. So that is one of the things I really remembered with my friends in the camp that I was born and raised with. And it's a lot of fun for us, you know, because we never think about getting hurt, where our feet would be hurt or cut. We don't think about that. We just do it, you know.
Well, why didn't you want to wear your slippers?
Well, it's more comfortable without the slipper, you know. And then when you wear the slipper, it's, I don't know, when you walk so much, the slipper get brown and dirty. But we get our feet without slipper, we don't care if it's brown and dirty. So then we get through school, we come home, we pick up our slipper, put them on, go home. And we don't get any scolding from our parents. You know, they think, oh, we were good boys. But actually, we were naughty.
What was your house like when you were growing up? Like, how many rooms?
Well, we had, it was a three-bedroom home. And it's built by the plantation. They build the homes for the people that work for the sugar company. And it's a 1x12 home. And our home was built on stilts. Because there was a reason for that. I found that out back in 1946, why it was built on stilts. You see, back in 46, when I was a freshman in high school, there was a tidal wave. And that was a very scary thing for all of us. You see, what we used to do is we used to wait where the scale house is for the pineapple truck. We wait, and then we used to go to school on a taxi, no bus. And they charge us 50 cents a day, go up and down on a taxi. There was about 8 of us in a taxi. So that was pretty reasonable for our family. Plantation did not make much money, very little money. So, but my mom and dad were able to furnish the finance for us to go to school. So that's when the tidal wave happened. When we came down, they asked us to come down right after lunch. And we were wondering, why we have to go down? You know, we never know about the tidal wave. We went home, you know, on the stilt, they had a 6 steps going up. It was on the 3rd step where the water was. It came from the ocean that the tidal wave was pushing the water up to the 3rd step, and that's pretty high. You know, so then we understood why we were asked to come home. And when you're a kid, you know, like maybe 14, 15, our camp was flooded with water. At that time, we don't realize that there was sewage line, thing underneath the place we were raised in. And what we did was, hey, Fuzzy, we go swim. Get our teen boat, we go swimming. Do the water, you know. But we never know any better, you know. Then after that, we start thinking, wow, you know what, you swim in do the water. So that was one of the things that I'll never forget. But I wasn't the only one. There's a lot of us that did that.
Okay, hold on a second. So you said it was a three-bedroom home. How many people lived in there?
Well, we have one sister and four boys, five of us. And my grandparents at the time were staying with us. So there was about, six, seven, eight, nine of us in the house. So we packed up, the kids were packed up in the room. And then my grandparents sleep, we have a parlor. So they sleep in the parlor. Then after that, the plantation was able to get my grandparents another house, which was a small house, and they lived next to us when they moved. So that was great, you know. We were in contact every day.
And you said that there were two camps, the Filipino camp and the Japanese camp. What do you remember about the relations between the two ethnicities?
If I tell you that, well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, you see, they do that because they want to separate the two different ethnic group. And then, I guess, you know, before time, it's your ethnic groups that can get together better. And then in our camp, what I remember is my mom used to do the making of the hot water in the camp because we have community bath. And the community bath, then my mom, she gets through working 3 o'clock. We get through working school about 1:30. We reach home about 2 o'clock. We help her tree branch in the furnace. And then for a while, my mom gets happy because here we are, young kids helping her out, you know. So she does that for 8 hours a day. And you have to take a shower as soon as possible when you get home from work, because the ones that come so extra late and dilly-dally, they're going to get cold water, you know. And then they have something like a furo. And everybody dive in there, but now I'm beginning to rise. We realize that maybe some shishi in there. You know? Well, those are the things that we never realized that could have happened. And then there's a place for the women, there's a place for the men. But when we were young, going to grade school, we never think anything about doing something to the girls, you know. So when our parents not around, we bathe with the girls, and then we have fun, you know. We don't do anything like what the young kids do today. We just don't even think about those things. So that's what I remember about our camp days, the community bath, and getting together with the boys and the girls, and we really have a lot of fun, you know, with our friends, young friends.
Well, was that community bath just Filipinos, or are you saying that the Japanese and the
Filipinos? Japanese do have their own bath, so somebody else does that for them.
So can you tell me about what you know about the relationships between Japanese and Filipinos? Did you guys get along?
Well, we get along. The ones that we get along, it's just that they want to separate us. The reason I really don't know, you know, until today. Because all I can think is that maybe because they want to separate the two ethnic groups, because before time, you can't get married with Japanese Filipinos, you know, and they do that, they disown you. So maybe that is one of the reasons. They don't want us to get close.
Well, when did you interact with each other?
Well, I tell you, I think when I was in the service, I was drafted in the Marine Corps, but I came home, they have intermarriages, you know. We had a lot of Japanese girlfriends. I had a girlfriend, she was Japanese. When I was in high school, I took her to dance, you know, but then we share a cab with some other classmate. We go to school, we go to dances, and then, it was a Japanese girl, and my parents don't care, and her parents was good. So we do that quite a bit when we have high school function.
And then what happened?
Nothing, because she moved to Honolulu, and then I was in the service, and then a few years later, I heard she passed away. She was, I think, in her 30s when she passed away. So the brother still lives in close to my camp. So that's about it, my relation with that girl. So, but in school, oh, I have a lot of classmates that are Japanese, very good classmates. You know, we get together along really fine.
Do you know why your grandparents came with your parents, why they came to Hawaii?
Well, I guess they just want to travel together. You know, they're not used to going on their own because they can't speak English very well. And then my dad can speak broken English, so that helps, you know. And my grandma and grandpa, when they talk to us strictly Filipino, and a lot of times we don't know what they're saying, you know. Then we had to learn, so eventually when they talk to us, we try to see what the words are and what they're trying to say. Then I can speak the dialect. I can speak the Visayan dialect. For a local born, that's very hard to find. It's normally people born and raised in the Philippines that they can talk the dialect. But my older brother and I, we can talk the Visayan dialect. Oh. So everybody's surprised, especially the old folks. When they talk to us in Visayan, we talk back, they're surprised, you know. Especially that they know we're born and raised in Lahaina, on Maui.
So, you said that you were a freshman in 1946.
That's correct.
Do you remember the 1946 sugar strike? Was your family involved in that?
I tell you, I don't remember that because I was still in school when they had that. But I remember the one they had in 63 or 64. I was involved because I was a gang steward. Then I called the division up to find out when the dates are, but the old timers are gone. They don't have it often. They have it in the library. I called Honolulu up to find out, but said, oh, Fuzzy, the library is closed, so they couldn't give me an answer. They said, I can call back Monday, but that's too late. They're going to interview me today at 2. So I thought, just forget it. I just guess when we had our strike.
But so you don't remember if your parents were part of the sugar strike in 46?
Well, they were all part of it. They have to be because they can't work. They all stay home, you know. And nobody can go work because the fields are closed and all the workers have to stay home and attend meetings. And we have soup kitchen. That's where we have our food for lunch and dinner. We make our own breakfast. Ones I remember the most, but I forgot the year when I was the negotiating chairman for the Maui Sugar Company. There was 3 sugar companies, and I was the chairman and went for the negotiation. And I remember the strike. It was about a 3-month strike. And that's the strike that we made a lot of improvement in our contract.
This is the one that was in 60?
I think that was the early 70s or the late 60s. I don't really remember that. Mm-hmm. But it was sometime those days. That's why I tried to find when it was, but the girl in Wailuku is telling me, oh, Fuzzy, our library closed, and she's the only one working. I call up Honolulu, oh, Fuzzy, the library won't be open until Monday. Oh, forget it then.
How did you get your name Fuzzy?
Well, when I was in grade school, I cut my hair real short. And then I decided to raise it up, you know. And that thing stood up like a porcupine. And my friends in a camp told me, hey, look, Faustino, he get funny kind of hair, that thing sticking up. So they start calling me Fuzzy after that. That's why I have that name. And most of my friends, the old friends, they call me Fuzzy. They don't call me by my real name, Faustino. You tell Faustino, they say, who's that? So that's why I use my name, Fuzzy.
And you know how you described your family irrigating the cane? Did your mom do that? Did your mom work in the field?
Oh, yeah, my mom. My dad has a different job. My mom, my grandpa, and my grandma, they did all that on the irrigating fields. But my dad, they called them the Hapaiko gang. I don't know. I guess you must know what is Hapaiko. They carry cane into the cane truck. You see, my home was right below the train track. And then we always see the train cars and train pass by our house. And then how they give the signal is they have a big tower, a very high tower. And I remember this guy, Watanabe, used to be the flagman. They call him a flagman. If a train is coming, they make sure there's no other train coming out to the field. He waved the red flag, you know, that means danger. And that's how they communicate. They don't have, like what they have now, you know, the phone thing they have. We don't have that, so that's how they communicate with the trains that bring the field. And then what we used to do was every time when the train car come, it slows down, you know, something, they have to stop. We run out there, pull the cane out. That we use that for candy. And at that time, we had terrific good teeth. To honest to God, boy, we don't have to go to the dentist. And when we stopped doing that, what happened? Our teeth got all rotten. And then one other thing I really remember, I'll never forget this as long as I live. You know, when they start harvesting the field right above our house, my mom and dad would get a mat, some blanket, and then after school, after we eat supper, we go up to the place where he's working, and then we help him fill up the cane. We take the cane, put it at the lower part of the cane truck. Then my dad climbs the ladder, and then he does all the filling up of the rest, you know. And then we do that until late at night. We even sleep outside. I will never forget that. We sleep where he was working. You see, before, the more cane trucks you fill, the more money you get. It's called a contract. I'll never forget forever because we did that every time when the field above our house is being harvested. And we see the men, it's done by hand when they build the track into that field. And then it's section by section when they do that. And that's how they get the cane into the factory. So that I really remember forever. Just like I was involved in it, you know?
So your dad would work late into the night.
He would.
And your mom worked during the day, and then she did the bath at night. Can you talk about your mom?
Well, after she got the job for the bathhouse, she didn't work out in the fields anymore. That was her regular job, to make hot water for the people that work for the sugar company.
Was that better paying than the...
Well, it was a little bit more and not as hard as when you have to stay in the water for a long period of time. So she liked the job. She really enjoyed it until she retired, you know. So, but it was fun when we were helping her put the kiavi wood into the furnace. And we were not the only ones. Even my friends that I went to school with, they come and help us too, you know. But my mom never say anything. But you just watch out, don't get hurt. You know, she talked to us in Filipino, you know. Don't get hurt now. So we were careful.
Well, some of the people that we talked with, they couldn't, their family needed money, so they couldn't even go to high school. So it sounds like your family was pretty well off.
No, we weren't pretty well off. In fact, when I was a freshman in high school, my parents moved to Lanai because they were making that main highway. You know the Shell service station where Safeway is, the stoplight? Right the corner, the north of the stoplight was where our home was. But then when my dad heard that it was going to be demolished, he didn't want to move any other place. And besides, he was retirement age already. So if he stayed, he would have to retire. So he moved to Lanai, working in a pineapple field. And I stayed with my grandma until I finished my freshman year. Then I moved to Lanai with my parents because I feel my grandparents couldn't handle me, you know. So.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know, because like I said, I was pretty naughty. Good kind of naughty, you know.
Like what?
We do rascal things like, I hate to say it, but you know, they had the Japanese camp. A bunch of us would go up there and we were peeping Toms. They have holes on the wall, you know. And then what we do is we have a big bunch of us come up, Pudgy, over here. And we just meet me there and see the ladies, you know. I don't know why we did that, but we just did it for fun.
Peeping into what?
In a hole, to see the bait. And that's one of the naughty things we did, some of the naughty things. So that is how it was during our day. But there were a lot of other things that I can talk about, but I don't know if you would be interested in hearing. You see, our camp used to have this dance, Filipino dance. They call them ribbon dance. They call them box dance. And what happened is the girls, they would sell ribbon to the customers. Maybe six or seven of us, like, hey, we will get together, we buy all the ribbon, 10 cents each, all the different color. So as soon as they call red, who has the red, jump for the girl, you know. And then, okay, another come, jump for the girl. And then what did they have? Box dance. In a box, the girl can put cake or even put chicken, you know, the bake or whatever they put in the box. You don't know what it is. And then if the girl is extra pretty, they go beat high. And then after the beating and all that, they call up a box dance, and then who bought the box from the girl get to dance with the girl. That's how the, we call a monsoon dance. So that was part of the thing that I will remember forever. And we have, during result day, we have program.
Oh, wait, so about the box dance and the ribbon dance, these were all, like, children of immigrants, so there was pretty, it was equal, like, boys and girls?
Oh, they were adults.
Oh, for...
They were adults that worked for the plantation and they saved their money. So the one who we know saving money because they bid high for the box, if they like that certain girl, they're going to bid high. And that's how they do it. But ribbon dance, as long as you buy the ribbon, even we can go in dance. So that's why we're our... fun was, and at that time we were pretty naughty, you know, we do that, and then they never bothered us.
Why do you call that naughty?
Well, because actually we're not supposed to be involved, you know, but we still do it, you know, because we had fun, and then there's certain girls that we know, and we like to dance with them when the time comes for the color of the ribbon.
Why weren't you supposed to do it?
Well, because maybe we weren't working people, you know. We were just young kids. But we had money which our parents give us. And 10 cents ribbon at the time is expensive. Sometimes our parents give us 50 cents for span. And then we use that 20 cents for buy ribbon or 10 cents. Everybody buy one. That's why we buy all the ribbon. Because everybody has money that they can put in. And 10 cents at the time was big money. And we don't mind spending it. Just for have fun. That's how it used to be.
So you were going to describe Rizal Day?
Yeah, that's how Rizal Day was. The Rizal Day, when we have programs, and then they do Filipino dance, music, and then I got involved in one of the program, in one of them. One year they asked the young boys if they want to dance. So I participated. We dance for the people in the community only. Because we used to have a lot of people in the camp. You see, when back in the 40s, we had about almost 2,000 workers in the plantation. Almost 2,000. And then back in 50s, there was about maybe 1,800, 1,700 workers. That's how many workers had. Then when I got hurt from the plantation, they ended up with about 500 workers. Because of mechanization, you know, they don't, it's not man that loads a cane up, and it's a train that bring the cane in, it's all trucks. And they have the crane to pick up the cane, load them on the trucks, bring them to the factory. So that's how it was, you know, the early years of my life, and what I remember. So...
Okay. Well, thank you. Are there any other special memories that you have about camp life, or what did you folks do for fun? Well, you told me the naughty stuff. Yeah. But
I tell you, you know, when we were young kids, we was going to grade school, We used to raise chicken, ducks, turkey, and we even had pigs, and we even raised two cows one time, because we moved from the first place we was to another area of the camp, same row, but further north. And then when we moved there, there was a lot of open space. So we started to raise animals, and we feed the animals before we go to school. You know, and that's a must for all of us. Otherwise, we have to feed them until they're all done. Then we come home, we do the same thing. And those are the things for us was hard labor, but was fun. After thinking that, oh, we use the eat the chicken, we eat the eggs. So it really helped with our financial status, you know. We were raising our own, and we have our own vegetable. And when the cow was ready to be slaughtered, we have all the camp people come down and help us slaughter the cow, and everybody get so much meat, you know, for themselves. And then we used to have blood. Before time in a camp, you don't close your door. Maybe your neighbor come over and then pick up sugar or coffee. When you come home, tell, oh, Mr. Alboro, you know, or they call my dad, Imong, as he's Filipino. Oh, we come borrow sugar or borrow coffee. Oh, no problem. Next time they bring it back, you know. That's how it used to be.
But so you would spend all the money to feed the cow, but then you would divide up the food? Or was the cow community property? Did everyone?
No, it's our own property. But we don't buy feed for the cow because they eat kiawi trees, kiawi beans and all that. So we pick up the kiawi beans and then we feed them coa leaves. They get healthy with all that kind of food. And then like the pigs, we have garbage. We collect garbage from our neighbors, you know, because they don't raise pigs, we do. And then chicken, we have this chicken grass, and we buy chicken feed, and we mix it up with the grass. And we don't have much expense on the animals, really. And ducks eat anything. Eat garbage, and eat anything you throw in there, they'll eat it. I never realized they do that, you know. But chicken is a little bit more different, a little bit more sophisticated, you know.
Well, and then who provided that land for the animals?
The plantation.
Can you say that again?
The plantation. You see, before the immigrants came, they built homes for the people that was going to work for the company. That's why it was great for the plantation doing that for us, because they built, otherwise they won't have workers. You know, if the worker have to find their own place. Like all the village, all the camps that have sugar company, all the homes were built by a company. They build the homes for them so they get place to stay. They don't charge us anything, free water, free house. Only electricity we pay, but was very small electricity. That's it, you know. And then, of course, we go fishing during the day when we were kids, you know. We love to go fishing, surround net, and we bring on fish, our friends happy, you know. So we support our needs by doing all that. So things like that you can't forget. It's very difficult to forget, you know, because you know the hard life, the hard work we have to do. But to go to college, I was in college for a couple of weeks, but financially I wasn't able to get help, and it's difficult to work and go to college. That's why I didn't finish. Then I came back. I was in Lanai from 47, 48, 49. Then I graduated in 49. 50, I came back. It was 1950, June the 20th, I started working for the company. One year later, in 51, August, I was drafted in the Marine Corps. But then I was working 1 year already for the company. When I came back, I had my job back.
Did you have any other options besides working for the sugar company?
I used to work for the cannery. Of course, that was when I was in high school. I could have worked for the cannery. I didn't like the job. You know, and then I was working for Dole Company for a while. But I didn't like it because there wasn't family for me in Honolulu. I have to stay by myself. And I'm not used to by myself, you know. So I came back to Lahaina. worked for the sugar company. Everything was hard. Everything was hard. Because working for the sugar company is a dirty job and very difficult, you know. I tried all the different jobs in a company. I was a fertilizer man, pipe that we repair pipes for the irrigation. They call us Brown Gang. I used to work for the Brown Gang when I came back to work. And at the Brown Gang, we make the pipes for put in the fields so they can be irrigated. And I used to dig ditch. I was a merit tiller, and I was a fertilizer man. I tried all the different jobs in a plantation. So I know how life was in the plantation. It wasn't fun. And then back in 83, I became an electrician. Well, at first I was a pump tender. Then I worked for the sugar factory as a clarifier, juice clarifier. Then I worked in a research department. I used to be a chemist in a research department. Then there was an opening in an electric shop, but I had to take ICS course. So I took the course. After 1 year, I got my certificate to be a journeyman electrician.
So you became a tradesperson after many,
after
many
that, years.
After
that, I became a tradesperson. Well, I got hurt back in 83. I fell in a well about 100 feet deep. Well, I worked in an electric shop for about 8 years when I got hurt. So that's why my career ended, because I was really planning to run for politics in 83. But when I fell down, a lot of people thought I was a supervisor. You know, people that I know that I go meeting with, union meeting and convention and all that. When I went back, for a while, they told me, "Father, I thought you supervisor." I said, "No." I thought I got hurt. And they were surprised, you know. They thought I was really going to be a supervisor. Supervisor never make good pay. The job we have as an electrician, we make more money than them. We have overtime. You know, so why should I accept being a supervisor with headaches?
Well, you know, you talked about how the plantation provided housing.
Uh-huh.
But part of the strike in 46 made it so that the plantations didn't provide housing anymore. So when you came back, was that difficult for you to find your own housing?
Well, no, because I stayed with my grandparents for a while because they were still in Cavite camp. And then afterwards, they had homes. When I came back in 53, after I did my tour with the Marine Corps, I went back to the plantation. They offered me a place to stay. So the place I'm staying now is the one that they offered me, and then I bought the place back in 69 or something, 70. I bought the house. So I have a 6-bedroom house on that house now, because my family got bigger, you know. So where I'm staying now, I've been there for about over 50 years. Because this December 12, my wife and me will be married 51 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, I need to just get us not talking. So for about